There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty. And a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. There is an incredible facility right here in downtown Toronto that is helping on the front lines and is doing incredible innovative research. They are a facility that treats everybody with dignity, and they need your help. May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. If this matters to you, help CAMH. There's no better place for your resources. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand and donate now. Help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace makes it easy to turn your idea into a unique website. You can showcase your work, your blog, you can publish content, all with just a few clicks. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you are ready to launch, use the offer code CanadaLand to save 10% off of your first purchase of a website or domain. This episode is also brought to you by Second City. If you have ever been curious about what improv is all about, go to the source. Second City is the best place in the entire world to try taking a class. Visit secondcity.com/TC for more information about the Second City Training Center. This great story broke last week. It was discovered that the Harper administration had secret documents that identified mental health issues as a root cause of terrorism. That is highly relevant because, of course, Harper's administration was openly hostile to different approaches to fighting domestic terrorists. Harper did not want to try to understand radicalized Canadians as individuals. He did not want to look at what turned them into jihadis. He said, and this is a direct quote, he said he was not about to commit sociology. We were at war. And the answer was simple. The answer was to fight. It was to scale back privacy and the civil liberties of Canadians. It was to push spying legislation like Bill C-51. This was the policy. And his MP, Pierre Poilievre, similarly brushed aside, you know, warm and fuzzy thinking that we need to try to understand terrorists to prevent terrorism. He said no. He said that the root cause of terrorism is terrorists, period. And all the while, their own research and their own internal documents were telling them that mental illness was a root cause of domestic terrorism and that stronger social structures might actually prevent it. But those documents were marked secret and hidden away from sight until last week when an access to information request dragged them into the public view in an exclusive story published by Press Progress. And that's the tricky part. Because while their story definitely qualifies as news, Press Progress, to a lot of people, does not qualify as a news organization. Guys, we are continuing our exploration on Canadaland this week of things that are not necessarily the news, things that look like news when they pop up in your social news feed. You got a headline, you got an image, the whole thing is branded with a newsy-looking logo, but things are not always what they seem. Press Progress does not sell subscriptions. They do not run ads. They are funded by a think tank that was founded by a former leader of the federal NDP. And they join me in a moment. Wait for it. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Jennifer Nantes, Jenny Hansen, Adria Minsky, Allison Garwood-Jones, Nicole McCreary, Sven Niklas Peterson, Wendy Ireland, and Alex Eddington.
Hey, I'm Alex. I'm a composer and theater artist in Toronto. I support Canada Land because independent media should be fierce, funny, and free, and hold people's feet to the fire. I actually let my donations slide for a bit, but I came back to support this deep investigation into Thunder Bay that you are planning.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. We got a tour of their facilities in their downtown Toronto campus, and I was blown away by the heroic work that these people are doing. They are saving lives every day. I know people whose lives were saved, and they just really care about the dignity of the people who turn to them for help. Look, we talk a lot about these issues on Canada Land. We talk about the crisis that is claiming 20 lives every day in Canada to drug overdoses, but we don't give you a lot of options of what you can do about it. CAMH is an option. CAMH desperately needs resources that they directly put into their work, saving lives and turning people's lives around. Listen, May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. This is when they need your help the most. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand to help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer. And it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. And this episode is brought to you by Squarespace. The new year is upon us. You may have been sitting on an idea for a new business, a new project. You may have been meaning to launch your own personal website. You've been putting all that off. Well, why wait until the new year to put your plans into action? The future is coming. Make it brighter with Squarespace. You get beautiful templates created by world-class designers, and you put your own information in. It is easy and fun to turn this into a new and unique website. Showcase your work, your blog, publish content. Just takes a few clicks. Customize everything from the look and feel to settings and products. It is all optimized for mobile right out of the box. You make one website. It works on desktop and mobile devices. You can use Squarespace's analytics to help you grow in real time. Never have to install, patch, or upgrade anything ever. If you do have a question, they got great support. A dream is just a great idea that doesn't have a website yet. Make it a reality with Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you are ready to launch, use the offer code CanadaLand to save 10% off of your first purchase of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com, offer code CanadaLand. This episode is also brought to you by Second City. It is easy to get stuck in a rut, into a routine, socially or at work. Improv is for anyone who is looking to shake things up and get out of that routine. If you've ever been curious about improv, just go to the best place in the world to try it out. That is Second City. You can take a class. It is the same place where Tina Fey and Stephen Colbert and John Candy and Gilda Radner, they got their start in comedy through Second City. People are sometimes surprised to hear that improv isn't just about being funny. Most people are not there looking to become a professional comedian, but what does happen is that the skills you learn in improv can work wonders when it comes to being a better listener, collaborating with others, being a better parent, a better partner, a better human being in general. There is so much you can get out of improv at any age. Classes at the Second City Training Center start as young as grade 2. And they have students going on right up to 98 years of age. It is a very welcoming environment. You will meet new people and you will be challenged to look at the world a different way and consider how you relate to people in a different way. It's really beneficial. Check it out. Visit secondcity.com/TC for more information about the Second City Training Center.
My name is Luke LeBrun and I am the editor of Press Progress.
And I'm Luke Savage. I'm a producer, staff writer with Press Progress based here in Toronto.
And Luke Savage, you're here with me in Toronto. And Luke LeBrun, you are in Ottawa. Luke, can you tell me what is Press Progress?
Yeah, sure. So Press Progress, we launched in 2013. We're a digital media project of the Broadband Institute. And we cover politics from a critical angle. The origin story of Press Progress is basically that there was this feeling amongst progressives that the Fraser Institute and the Canadian Taxpayers Federation and these sort of right-wing advocacy groups were getting a lot of uncritical print in the newspapers. And so there was this idea that they wanted to have kind of this rapid response fact-checking unit that would respond to them basically in real time. The other part of that is that the left-wing media landscape in Canada tended to be a little bit more focused on social movements, and it was a little bit more introspective and opinion-oriented. So there was this idea that we would be more externally focused, more fact-based, more dedicated to, sort of challenging directly the ideas put out by right-wing groups like the Fraser Institute.
If I'm hearing you right, you saw right-wing and right-wing-funded institutions getting a lot of press coverage. So, okay, if they can do it, we'll do a countermeasure and maybe one that has some interesting distinctions that we can explore. But that it seems like we're describing the same origin story, no?
Yeah, I'd say that's sort of a fair assessment.
But unlike a place that positions itself as a think tank, which for reasons just explained might be its own form of subterfuge, you know, and then tries to get earned media, tries to get traditional media, Press Progress is, well, why don't we be the media? We'll launch a news site. And Press Progress, I think to many people, it shows up on your Facebook news feed as another news outlet, like a new online news outlet. And the tagline I read here is Canada's most shared source for progressive news and information.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think, the Fraser Institute tends to operate by, they'll produce reports and they kind of get covered in the media. And as you said, we operate more like a traditional news site. I mean, we're trying to make the news as well as just respond to it.
What does that mean? You're trying to make the news as well as respond to it? Like you're trying to make the news in the way that releasing a poll or a report generates a news story?
Well, and also in doing our own investigative work and then having that be picked up by the media writ large.
Another important element to point out is that our founding editor, her name was Sarah Schmidt. She was a former consumer affairs reporter with the Ottawa Citizen. Her influence is actually really hardwired into our DNA because we try to approach news in this sort of fact-based way where we're doing that investigative work, we're filing access information requests, and doing sort of enterprise reporting in much the same way as the Ottawa Citizen did when she was working there.
Okay, well, let's talk about that for a moment then. So, like, essentially, you're kind of pointing to your journalistic bona fides, and credit has to be given where it's due. You guys do break stories. You can brag a bit if you want for a minute. What are some stories that you're proud of that Press Progress is?
Well, I would say, our coverage of The Rebel recently, which I know Canada Land has also done a lot of, that's a file we've worked quite diligently on. One of the things I'm proudest of is the work we've done to just fact check a lot of the conservative movement in this country and its outlets. A good example would be the Fraser Institute's Tax Freedom Day, which, you know, for years, this is a really good example of the kind of media environment that we were in as a country, and I think to some extent still are in. The Fraser Institute would produce this Tax Freedom Day report, which really suggested and was reported on by outlets like the Toronto Sun that the governments were just taxing us up the wazoo, and you know, the average family was paying a huge percentage of its income in taxes. The Toronto Sun even one year ran an editorial which almost seemed to be suggesting, you know, that there was going to be some kind of revolt if this wasn't dealt with. But, you know, we dove into the methodology and we really, you know, didn't think it was sound. We also dove into how the media had covered it. And we created a sort of metric for looking at did a mainstream media outlet mention that the Fraser Institute is right leaning, for example? Did it simply repeat lines from the executive summary verbatim? Did it include any kind of contrary perspective from, you know, a labor or a left perspective? And we found that there was a very real change from one year to another after we did that investigation and how the media covered that story. So I think that's a really good example of the type of work we do in action.
You guys also do stuff that plays well over social. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people encounter you over social, and you boast that you're the most shared source for progressive news and information. Is that like a Facebook metrics kind of a boast? What's that based on?
Yeah, that's right. It's all publicly available information, but you can find the number of shares for any given article or news outlet if you look at Facebook's, you know, like the public information that they have on that. Generally, our stories get between 1,000 or 2,000 shares for a sort of lower performing story. Sometimes, I mean, recently we had a story about a conservative MLA in Alberta who said that legalizing marijuana would lead to a communist revolution. That was shared over 16,000 times on Facebook, I believe. And I think it's mainly just a result of having good stories, good headlines, you know, packaging it well, and telling the kinds of stories that people want to share with their friends and family and coworkers.
So you add up your shares compared to other progressive news sources, and you guys win. Lucky for you, there are hardly any progressive news sources in Canada. I guess it's like you versus the Rabble, Ricochet. I'm sure some people would put us on that list, but I would not necessarily. So, okay. So
yeah, and I think part of the reason for that, too, is that some of those websites kind of came about maybe a decade ago before social media really kind of took off. So we're a little bit more geared towards that social media mindset.
Okay, so Luke in Ottawa, you know, it was the first thing you said when I said, you know, what is this? You mentioned that this is a project of the Broadbent Institute. That's not hidden. That's on your website. It's at the bottom of your website, but it's on the website. The Broadbent Institute, I believe, is where I'm reaching you now, and that's who signs your paychecks. What is the Broadbent Institute?
First of all, it's an independent organization. It is chaired and was founded by Ed Broadbent, who is a former NDP leader, but as opposed to the, you know, the political party, we focus more on the battle of ideas and sort of more of this ideological plane of politics. The Institute does all kinds of work, you know, everything from training for community-based activists to sort of more policy, let's say, research, and it plays a convening role. It hosts events that bring together different progressives. I think that a good way to think of it is sort of as sort of a convener of the progressive movement more generally. So, you know, bringing together people from labor, from the environmental movement, from social, you know, activist groups, and trying to sort of channel them into making change on all levels of society.
But is it an NDP think tank?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, there's no formal links between the party and the Institute.
This is an email that a listener sent me some time ago.
Okay.
This listener wrote, "I'm thinking about the Broadbent Institute's Press Progress newsroom and its ethics. Obviously, its ties to the NDP, my own party, are huge. Former staff of Jack Layton working for it, plenty of NDP cash flowing through it, etc., all without transparency on their website. Yet somehow it's got a rather credible reputation within journalistic circles, seemingly. Meanwhile, their news stories often run parallel with NDP talking points and never criticize the NDP for non-progressive choices like supporting a west-to-east pipeline." Take issue with that?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot that I would take issue with in that. I mean, for one thing, Press Progress and the Institute more generally, you know, they're rooted in social democratic values. I think sometimes people confuse having, you know, an ideological and a value-based foundation with being partisan in the sense of, you know, a political party. So, I mean, both the Institute and Press Progress are, you know, off base with the NDP quite frequently. I mean, a good example recently was the tax changes that Bill Morneau was talking about bringing in, you know, before he got cold feet and all that. But I mean, we were fact-checking the conservative talking points, Andrew Scheer's talking points on those. I mean, you know, certainly because, you know, the NDP is a social democratic, it's, you know, the social democratic party in this country, and the Broadbent Institute is rooted in social democratic values. I mean, of course, there are shared values, but, you know, Press Progress and the Broadbent Institute operate independently of the partisan interests of any party in this country.
You were saying that you strayed from the NDP on which? And that was a question I had, is like and that's in that listener's email, is like, when do you criticize the NDP? When do you contradict or scrutinize the NDP? So I didn't quite catch it. What was the instance?
The federal NDP was critical of the tax changes that Bill Morneau was talking about bringing in. And the Institute, you know, was supportive of those changes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is, I mean, I run our story meetings every morning. We're making decisions based on what we think is going to be most relevant to the daily news cycle, what we think is going to get the most traffic, you know, or just things that we stumble across. I mean, we're not getting any kind of memos from anyone telling us to do this or that. We're just making decisions based on what we think our audience is going to be most interested in.
I mean, maybe it's just a natural parallel that you know, the NDP has long supported, say, abolishing the Senate, and Mulcair ran on that. Press Progress had a story, is it time to abolish the Senate? LNG company shuts down Jason Kenney's false theory, blaming BC NDP for canceled LNG project. That's one of your headlines. Official petition demanding Trudeau honor electoral reform promise gets a record number of signatures. On a day-to-day basis, Press Progress's coverage seems to support NDP. It's parallel with NDP positions. It's running in the same direction. And
well, I think those examples you just gave are parallel with kind of what I would take to be progressive and social democratic positions.
Yeah, I mean, I can also point to examples where we, you know, for example, we're defending Kathleen Wynne against kind of homophobic attacks against her from these sort of social conservative groups. You know, I mean, if conservatives abandon bad ideas and embrace ideas that we agree with, we're happy to, you know, highlight that. For example, with the Rebel Media stories that we were doing, we ran a story where Michael Chong went on the record to us and told us that, you know, he denounced Rebel Media as this anti-Semitic, white supremacist organization. So we're more than happy to run stories like that.
Yeah, that's and why not? And that was good. And I think you guys didn't. You were the first to bring up, like, let's call up the rest.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't really know what political party wants to wade into some of these issues, right? I mean, it's not really in their self interest, but it's in our interest because we're working on this more ideological level.
But to that specific example, based on Michael Chong denouncing the Rebel, you called up other conservatives and asked them if they would denounce the Rebel too. Is that right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Did you call up any NDP politicians and ask them the same thing?
No, because the premise of that story was that we made a list of all the conservative MPs who had appeared on Rebel Media, and then we asked them if they were, if they'd disavowed.
Yeah. I guess I feel like there might be an obstacle in this conversation. Like, think tanks exist because parties have limitations on what they can do, and I'm sure that you would be the first to point out that the Fraser Institute can carry water for conservative party, conservative interests in ways that the party itself and its candidates and its politicians cannot. And shedding light on that and then the impact of that in the press is something that Press Progress does on the daily and quite well. But that's got to reflect back on the Broadbent Institute as well. I mean, how can the Fraser Institute be, you know, some sort of a policy laundering messaging center, third party, you know, and you know, like, efforts are taken to make sure that those lines are not, you know, no one's calling anybody up in a way that, you know, would come out, hopefully.
Well, listen,
but everyone understands that there's a lockstep there. I'm not even saying that what you're doing is wrong. It's almost more just that I want to get clarity as to why you're doing it and who's doing it, you know?
You know, I think think tanks and alternative media play an important role in kind of adding texture where the mainstream media, the legacy media, really isn't. I think we need to be careful here about both sides-ism, because I think the important qualitative measure is, you know, you might be rooted in a value system, but are you also rooted in facts? Are you rooted in objective reality? If you look at our coverage of some of the Fraser Institute's reports, it really looks like they begin from, I mean, every one of their reports seems to begin from the premise that taxes are at an all-time high, public spending is at an all-time high, and then they figure out, you know, they have an ingenious number of ways of making depicting that by kind of torquing data and things like that. And we really try to root ourselves as much as we can in objective reality. And I mean, we do take the view that, you know, the facts support a social democratic and a progressive perspective on the world.
So, I mean, with regards to the Fraser Institute, with regards to the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, the Manning Center, there is a conservative movement out there. We've never suggested that they are operating in lockstep with the Conservative Party of Canada. In many ways, I think they are actually trying to steer their political party of, you know, that represents them in the directions that they want. So they're trying to wield influence within their own party. They're trying to influence larger society as a whole. But there is, you know, there's a difference between the movement and the political party, and it's a really important distinction. I would say with us, you know, we're working within the progressive movement as a whole. That's where I would locate us. I don't think that overlaps with any one political party 100% of the time or even 80% of the time. Canada's progressive movement has a different character, I'd say. I mean, you'll find progressives in the Liberals and the Greens just as well as you will in the NDP. So, you know, I think that's basically that's the audience that we conceptualize as we write our stories and who we are writing to.
Luke Savage, to speak to your point about the distinction being that when they do it, they're not necessarily fact-based, and when you do it, you are. I mean, that's a relevant distinction, but I would say that there's a greater distinction when you're talking about not how well you do it or how honestly you do it, but why you're doing it. And you guys call yourself a news site, and I can't dispute that you have broken news stories and investigated news stories. But the conceit of news and journalism is that your mission is to inform people about what's happening in the world. Here's the news. And if you're motivated by a goal of influencing how people vote or what they think about an issue, or you're trying to amass a critical mass of like a political organizing, any of those interests are not the same as the interest of a news organization. You can still do news, but what you're trying to do is advance a political position. And it does seem to me that Press Progress is trying to advance a political position more than it's waking up every day and saying, okay, what's a hot news story? That might have an impact on what you cover. And you know, with all respect due to the Morneau point you brought up earlier, I haven't seen Press Progress take a strong critical stand against the NDP. You know, I mean, it does feel like it is trying to further the interest of a political party. Is that like super unfair? I don't know.
Yeah, I would dispute the last point. But I take the question seriously. And I think it's a really interesting, but ultimately kind of a philosophical one, because it depends on what your idea of, you know, what you think objectivity means.
No,
right?
It's not philosophical at all. If there's somebody who sees Press Progress in their newsfeed and thinks, oh, here's a news site, and they don't know that it's linked to the Broadbent Institute, and they don't know or believe that the Broadbent Institute has anything to do with the NDP, and they just think it's another online news site like a Canada Land. Like, I was interviewing a guy named Jeff Ballingall, who is, I think we called him a shit poster on our site, but he runs Ontario Proud and BC Proud, these Facebook pages that are absolutely about bashing Kathleen Wynne. And whatever I have to say about his content, he tells me, I'm not a journalist. I am a registered political advertiser.
Right.
Is that not more honest than what you guys are doing?
No, we're an independent organization that operates on a nonprofit model, and we use evidence, and we don't get up every morning thinking, how do we advance the partisan interests of a particular party? It's just what I was trying to get at before is I think that, you know, you're always making decisions, you're always making qualitative judgments, whether you're doing hard reporting or you're doing, you know, the kind of advocacy journalism that we do. I mean, the choice to report something or not report something, or to report one thing and as opposed to something else, there is a value judgment in that. And I, you know, this is something that I think Canada Land in particular has done a really good job, you know, pointing out over and over again. Sometimes, you know, legacy media, it can be a little bit too smug about how it sees its role in operating, you know, this domain of capital, this idealized domain of capital T truth and capital O objectivity.
As a news consumer, you know, and as somebody who's read a little bit about the birth of news, I don't really have a problem with partisan news. You know, like there's always been a soft partisan affiliation of different news organizations. And, you know, I always wish that was more honest. But if you go back far enough, it was an overt, explicit partisan affiliation. And, you know, if you have different party-affiliated pamphleteers and cartoonists just smacking the hell out of each other every day through that sometimes ugly process, the truth can come out. It's not the worst way to learn everybody's dirty laundry. And I wouldn't mind if it was not called Press Progress, but it was called NDP Today or Press Progress by the NDP.
Like, well, I would mind it because it would not be an accurate reflection of what we do. It's true that partisan pamphleteering, you know, really predated the modern mass media as we know it. Part of what we're dancing around here is the multifaceted meanings of the word partisan, because I think you can be partisan for ideas or you can be partisan for particular institutions or particular interests. The type of partisan news which is really unhelpful is the kind which is not based in any kind of clear set of values or value system, but simply shifts based on whatever the institutional interests of its kind of chosen team are. I mean, a really extreme example would be something like InfoWars, right? Paul Joseph Watson, the Prison Planet guy, he had a video a few weeks ago where he was talking about the hypocrisy of Democrats around, you know, why are Democrats pro-pedophile? And then a couple days later, when the Roy Moore thing broke, it was the new left-wing sexual Puritans. I mean, that's like, he's not even pretending to be ideologically consistent. It's not even pretending to exist. In fact, you know, the worst kind of partisanship.
Yeah, my team is right no matter what.
Right. And behind that, you know, there's a whole operation that's, you know, exists to sell you, you know, super male vitality potion and elixirs to inoculate you against cultural Marxism or whatever. You know, it's just a total sham. So
Is that in pill form or is that like a vape liquid?
I imagine there's a couple different, you should check out InfoWars.com for more information.
I will have a look at that. Are you suggesting maybe that we're kind of like returning back to those days of the early partisan pamphleteering?
I think there's a sense in which we are, although, you know, those days really predated what we now think of as kind of the modern mass media. And I think what's happening now is there is a little bit of a breakdown in, you know, capital O objective, you know, mainstream media. And I would say that part of the reasons for that, you know, I know Canada Land has kind of explored them, but I think one of the reasons is that the mainstream press is not actually producing a product people actually want to read. And that's particularly true of a lot of political, you know, if you look at the op-ed pages of a lot of big newspapers, I frankly don't think they're very interesting. And if you're a person that's interested in politics, you're interested in ideas, or you're interested in public policy, you'd much rather go to a Press Progress or something like that, or even, you know, a Jacobin magazine or whatever, depending on your political proclivity, than you would reading like the op-ed pages of the New York Times or the Globe and Mail.
Yeah, and I think that you guys understand the new space better than the old players do. And, you know, 96,000 likes on Facebook, you're almost as much as the NDP party itself. You know, the storied Globe and Mail is something like 600,000 likes, which is a lot more than you. But given how new you guys are, it's not like you're in another league entirely.
And there are two of us.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of remarkable. And we're seeing this play out, you know, in my other conversation with Jeff Ballingall of the Ontario Proud, BC Proud websites, he's actually beating them. And so it seems like new players who understand this space are actually able to, if we're going to measure this in just mind share, just like what people are reading every day or looking at, a relatively tiny operation like yours can do just as well or better than massive legacy news organizations, which is, you know, exciting and terrifying.
Another point that I would make is, you know, the internet has introduced all kinds of changes to the media landscape. And I think a helpful way of thinking of it is as this media ecosystem where different people are working in different niches, trying to do different kinds of things, responding to different kinds of challenges. And I mean, I think the way to judge that is what the sum, you know, product of all those different entities working in their own areas produces. One organization, like the Fraser Institute, will put a think tank, and then the Toronto Sun might take their story and publish it. And then, you know, an organization like ours will fact check it, and then other news organizations might do their own fact check based on that. And so you see this sort of a chain of events evolve, and that's basically how public discourse, I think, is working in, you know, in this new space.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's interesting that for all of the kind of dreamy notions of collaborative journalism that I remember from like 5 or 10 years ago, it's playing out. There is collaborative journalism, but it's not some wonderful, you know, let's all hold hands and you've got, you know, citizen journalists, you know, filtering it up to the pros. You have sometimes radically opposed partisan interest bloggers, people on Twitter shoving information. I remember when I reported on Mansbridge giving paid talks to the oil industry, one of the people who there were two people on Twitter who were finding really good information about that. One was an anti-CBC right winger, and one was an environmentalist guy who hated the petroleum industry. And they were both feeding information that supported this story that Canada Land then went with further and confirmed the payment.
Which was also after the Rex Murphy incident, which was a story that Press Progress broke.
Well, we're all in this together. Nice to be working with you guys.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thanks a lot.
That is your Canada Land Show. Email me at jesse@canadalandshow.com. I read what you send me. We are on Twitter at Canada Land. Next time you're on Facebook, why not search for Canada Land and hit like on our page? That is a way to make sure that you catch our news stories. You can also just go to CanadaLandShow.com. Our crowdfunding site is patreon.com/CanadaLand. This episode was produced by Kevin Sexton. Syndication is by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. Visit them online at cfuv.ca. If you like what we do, please support us on Patreon.